Thanks for downloading this message. We trust that you will be encouraged and built up by the podcast you're about to hear.
The Apostle Paul here said, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." Bless you guys as you go. Have a great time together. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom is all family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. The doing of the impossible and performing miracles in God's church, it's a very kind of difficult to think, to grasp in the natural, isn't it? Let's face it. These things we know are way beyond our normal lives, way beyond how we live our lives. And we're seeking to learn and understand because it's Scripture. It's Scripture. If it wasn't in Scripture, I don't think we'd even give it a second thought. We'd just realize we can't do anything like that. But it's Scripture and God telling us. And what I do know is it's linked to love. And it's linked to agape love. And the more we understand about that, and these verses of Scripture teach us, they're fundamental in our understanding. And you kind of get a picture of the Apostle Paul. This is the second prayer he prayed, as you know, in the book of Ephesians. And you kind of picture him on his knees saying, "Lord, may the church and the future church grasp these things." Because he's talking about his Spirit in our inner being, that we'll have power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. So that the way that Christ Jesus has expressed himself to us, has expressed God to us, has made God known to us on earth, that we would realize that he lives within us by his Spirit. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You will, in a sense, he's trying to say that when you act in faith and when something happens, you'll know he's in there. Of course you will. If you can do anything at all that you know you can't do, you know it's him, don't you? And you know it's coming through you. You know it's not just him coming out of the sky to do something, as it were. He's coming through you. And he says this, "You being rooted and established in agape." We have to be rooted and established. And there is the fall down, because there's the difficult bit. Number one, it's difficult understanding how much God loves us. Because we've been conditioned by the way people love us. So in understanding how God loves us becomes a very difficult thing. But it's something that we absolutely need to get hold of and understand. Because that's been rooted and established in love, in agape love. Established means we start to operate in it. We start to see that through that we can do certain things. And we're commanded at least to love one another at that level, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And again, that's impossible without God inside of us, as it were, by his Spirit. So, you being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You know, I think if we grasp that, there'll be very, very few backsliders. Because God's church at times only believes in kind of, well, I'm going to heaven when I die, but there's not many benefits on earth. And the Apostle Paul is saying, you need to grasp how high and long and wide and deep. Grasp it. You have to grasp it, you see. You have to take hold of it. So if you believe in God for healing, if you believe in God for a breakthrough, if you believe in God for financial help, the list goes on. You have to grasp it. I used to think, why does he say grasp? Why doesn't he just say, you have to know it? Because once you grasp it and it works for you, you start to understand that there's a love available that surpasses knowledge. In other words, it goes way beyond the normal order of things. It gives love to those who don't deserve it. It gives power to people, ordinary people who get it wrong and who fail at times to get God's job done on earth. This love that surpasses knowledge, once we know it, it brings comfort where we've no right to have comfort. Where we wonder, why do I feel so strong when I'm in such pain? It's an immense thing. It's an immense thing. And it first begins in the spirit, then it works its way out through our soul, through our emotions, and we become tender. God says that he replaces a heart of stone for a heart of flesh. And I said earlier today, he wants to do something this morning. He wants to release us. He wants to release certain people to love again. The basis is in God, but it works out in how you love your partner, how you love your children. It starts with him. Because this world is too cruel and too hurtful. And it can be the people closest to us who hurt us sometimes, can't it? So God speaks out, you are a counterculture. And truth in itself is a wonderful thing, but it has to be delivered in love. And Scripture says, by this we grow up in all things, speaking the truth in love. And it's agape. It's always agape when it's things like that. The translation from the Greek, God's highest form of love. And so we're to be rooted and established in this. And Paul says to the Ephesians, because he's been the teacher, he pioneered it. He's been the teacher then. He says, you've been rooted and established in love. You are to know these things. How deep, how wide, how long, and how high is the love of God? You've got to be able to grasp it. Answers to prayer. Doing the extraordinary. Receiving from God when it's hard to believe that he could do it. That's what he's getting at here. How wide and long and high and deep. It's not one-dimensional. It's not just heaven when you die. It's an abundance of life on earth despite the state of the earth. Despite what's against you, you can be an overcomer. This love that surpasses knowledge. How do you surpass knowledge? Well, knowledge is this. If I do this, then this happens. And God breaks in and says, yes, but because of me, that's not going to happen to you. Because grace is on the scene. Do you see? Just an example of. Because human knowledge cannot understand God. God is only understood through the Spirit. It's discerned through, spiritual things are discerned through the Spirit. Your mind can't work God out. How did you respond when Kim got up and said that this morning? I bet so many thought, that's too far. Because we haven't experienced it, have we? But some have. If some have, and Jesus certainly ministered it, didn't he? He ministered at that degree. Where I absolutely love the story of the widow of Nain. I love it because I see the tenderness of Jesus' heart. He's observing the scene. And he realizes this woman is in deep trouble because she won't even have any finance now her son's gone. She's lost her income, as it were. He would be the income. And he's gone. And he says to her, don't cry. I don't know how much you want to be able to do that for people, but I certainly do. I want to enter scenes and say, you don't have to cry. We're here and we're real. You know, we're not showmen. We're not demagogues. We're real people who care. And that's why we're here. We want to help you. Don't cry. He raises the son from the dead. Incredible. I bet she didn't cry after that. Do you think so? And he says, when she surpassed knowledge, you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I pray a lot for us, and people who are in the prayer meeting before will hear me say it most weeks, about radiating God's presence. That we radiate his life. You are doing it right now to some degree or another. People around you can be experiencing something that's happening in you, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you if you're a believer. And he wants to come through you. And that's why the atmosphere, now God inhabits praises of his people and stuff. When somebody's praising, you may feel something going on that's just beyond you, if you like. You know, it's happening to you because of what they're doing. To be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, as a church, we cannot accept less than that. We're nowhere near that, but we cannot accept being satisfied with less than that. Amen? Because people need your love, and they need my love. And God wants to free you. If you're not able to do it and to show it and to give it, because it ends up being at a human level, doesn't it? You know, even as I say, doing an extraordinary thing in God, it's still done through a smiley human face that cares. People need you on the scene. Some of you need to hear they need you on the scene again. You're their healer. And I don't just mean physically. I mean, you're the one who brings sense to things, who brings comfort, who brings an answer where there's confusion. You need to be freed, even today, to love again. Some of you, I'm saying this because I believe it's true. God has partners for some people who don't have one. But you have to learn to love again. You have to learn to trust God. You have to learn to trust your emotions again because you've been hurt badly. I don't mean to say you've got to run out and try and find a partner. God would show that to you, be obvious to you. You know, come and talk to me before you get married. You know what I mean, don't you? And Paul says, in relation to these scriptures, now to him who is able to do immeasurably. Do you want to belong to that kind of church? I do. I want the immeasurable. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Meditate on the word, as we said there. Meditate and see yourself in it. Meditate on it and imagine. Imagine something you'd love to see God do through you, and believe by faith that he can do it. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, I'm in prayer meetings, and I'm asking a lot. The reason I'm saying that is I'm asking a lot. I was asking a lot yesterday in the joint prayer meeting at City Gates. I was asking God to do a lot. Even in my prayers this morning, I've been asking God to do a lot. And God says to us, he's going to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. Amen? Amen? Immeasurably more than all that you ask or imagine. On Friday morning, as usual, if I'm around, that is, but you know, I am most of the time, obviously, I'm in the prayer meeting from 7 till 10, 3 hours of prayer. So when I came out this week, I had a very strange experience because Deb, not straight away, but Deb went into the Catskills. So I was on my own, which is unusual. You know, there's people around usually, etc. But I was on my own. I shut the door and I sensed God upon me. And I'll get to it in a moment or two, what happened. Something quite staggering happened to me. I want to introduce you to a character called Bill Wilson. Some of you will know who he is. He's the leader of the world's biggest Sunday school. It's in the Bronx in New York. And he tells a story. If you've ever heard him tell a very moving story of his life, he tells a story of the pastor who saved his life. The pastor found Bill barefoot and destitute on a park bench. And it really moved me when I heard this. He said the pastor bought him a pair of shoes. He said, first pair of shoes I'd ever had. And the pastor took him into his care. It transformed Bill's life and was the start point for all he does now. That act started the journey of a man who's gone on to grow the biggest Sunday school in the world. It's quite a story if you know it. Some years later, Bill said, after hearing of the pastor's death, my one regret is that he died before I got to tell him that I loved him. I was on my way, and some of you know these stories, guys. Not all of you do, though. It's important for what we're saying here. I was on my way to see my dad when he was dying. Deb and I were traveling from South Wales to Blackpool. He died before we got there. I didn't get a chance to tell him one last time that I loved him. He'd already passed when I got there. When my mum was dying, we were in Tanzania and she was in Blackpool. I already knew that I would never see her again. I'd come to that realization I sat with my mum the last time before, which would be the last time that I would ever see her on earth. And I was kind of thinking, what does she really feel? We're 6,000 miles away. And I needed kind of something from her to say, I'm okay with that, John. Because we both knew. She knew as well. She was fading. And she said to me, I'm so glad that you're doing such a great job out in Tanzania. And I knew it was her way of saying, you've got my permission. That wouldn't have ended it. Of course not. But I just felt, as I looked at her, I just felt, thanks, Mum. Thanks that you've concluded that. When it came that she was dying, my brothers and family members were around her bedside and had arranged a phone call with us in Tanzania. Just Deb and I were there. The last words I ever spoke to my mum were, I love you. She replied, I love you too, in a very weak and fragile voice. After that, I just choked. I'm still on the phone. My brother gets hold of the phone. And after a pause of silence, he says, are you having a moment, lad? We're Yorkshire, you see. Are you having a moment, lad? And I said in a broken voice, I am. And just, I said, I'll speak to you later. I couldn't do any more than that. The next time I saw her, she was laid out in a coffin. And I subsequently took her funeral a few days later. Don't live outside of the words, I love you. And don't hold back until it's too late. God wants to release you to be able to say those words. God wants to release you to be able to release what's in your heart that may have been blocked by circumstances or hurt and pain. Tell whoever you need to tell. Phone them up. Be bold. Even if you get rejected, so what? As I was trying to teach last Sunday, take rejection into your spirit, not into your soul. Let God deal with it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Don't act because of what you think the response will be. Don't not act because of what you think the response might be. Do what's right. Maybe God's telling you even now, they need to hear it from your lips. I've said on more than one occasion, I never heard it from my own dad's lips ever, not once in his life. Noel is a character in the movie The Notebook, and I'm sure a number of you have seen The Notebook. And his love affair, it's the story of his love affair and how eventually his wife gets Alzheimer's. And she's in a home and she comes out of it, as people do sometimes, for a moment and then slip back in. And he goes and he visits her and he sees her and he's still in love with her, and sometimes she doesn't even know who he is. Most times she doesn't know who he is. And they do things together and he stays in love with her. And he says this, "When I die, they won't build a statue, nor will any books be written about me. But one thing I have done, I have loved another with all my heart and soul." He'd achieved that with all of his heart and soul. I'm going to put a picture up now. Can I put that picture up? Here's a picture of my mum. I thought if I show this when I get to heaven, she'll say, "Why on earth did you show him that picture?" This is probably the last picture that was ever taken. That's my youngest brother, Ian. And obviously, she's going to pass from this life at that point. It's not the best picture she had ever had taken. She was a real beauty, my mum, when she was young. I'll show you some pictures of her in her prime sometime. But another reason I felt, show it, because she doesn't look like that now, you know. She's not at all like that now. I know that she's now even exceeded the beauty she had as a young woman. She's exceeded it now. So on Friday, the reason I've said all this is, on Friday I went into my office, having been in that, you know, in the presence of God, in the prayer meeting for those 3 hours, and I sensed God's strong presence. And I had an experience or a vision. It could, of course, been in my imagination. I fully accept that. But it was real either way. And in this vision, I was in a place that appeared to me to be like heaven. But it wasn't heaven. I didn't see Jesus there. I didn't see mountains or what heaven looked like. But I knew somehow that that's where I was. And I saw the figure of a beautiful, elegant young woman. Just in the distance a little bit. She was absolutely stunning. As I got closer, she said, "John." And I realized, oh my goodness, it's my mum. And I went over and I embraced her. And something else happened, which I'll share in a moment or two, because I'm going to put a song on in a moment. First time I heard the words, "I love you to the moon and back," are you familiar with those words? I was watching a TV program, and a little girl was sat on her mum's knee. The girl was so badly deformed that she almost didn't look like a human being. I'd never quite seen anything like it. They sat chatting and giggling together, and it was a picture of real joy. Then she looked at her mum and said, "I love you to the moon and back." And it brought tears to my eyes, as it would. Because I saw love that was beyond the camouflage, love that was beyond any reason to love. You know, in a human sense of what we norm, how we normally love people. I'll leave this picture of my mum up, but I want you in your mind to replace her with your own picture of someone you have loved or someone you need to tell that you love them. And on the one hand, to thank Jesus that you've had that kind of love for someone who, as my mum, is no longer here. You may be in that situation. And secondly, to try and hear from God of who you need to love, who you need to tell that you love. And I truly believe this. Even before you leave this meeting today, your heart will be free to do so. And your heart will also be free to receive from Him just how much He loves you. Let's just have that song.
When I know some of you would know this privately, but when my mum became pregnant with me, she had a bad heart condition, my mum, and she was advised not to go through with the pregnancy. And I only learned that a year before she died. And it showed me the magnitude of a mother's love that she went through, risking her own life to give me a life and all that stuff of what if she'd have made another decision, you know, the other choice and what have you. And I realized, my goodness, I owe this woman. And I knew that there was nobody else could take a funeral. You know, nobody could do it justice, because she'd had a really bad, severe stroke at this point of her life, and she lived with it for years, but paralyzed and down one side, the usual stuff. And it changed her. And, you know, she could be nasty with her staff and stuff, and it changed her personality as well as her physicality. And I had to make sure they knew the old picture. You know, if they'd only known Mum since then, I had to make sure, hey, you know, that wasn't the full story. You just saw that towards the end, you know, and she was a vivacious woman who brought five kids up, five boys as well. And we had one sister who died while still a baby. What I didn't say to you there, and if I'd have had the guts, I'd have done what I did in that room, because when it's just the music playing, I just did this with my mum. I can't do that naturally, as you've just seen. But I did it. I did it. I danced with my mum in this imagination or vision, whatever it was. Then she said this to me, "Look who's over there." I looked at a figure approaching me, and I heard these words, "Hey, old lad." It was a phrase that my dad used, but it's coming through the lips of a pristine young man who looked more like my son than my dad. The significance of this was, though my mum became a follower of Christ during her life, my dad never publicly made a commitment, as some of you know. But he was prayed for many times. I'd laid hands on him many times. I believe we kept him alive for years, actually. Witnessed to. Came to church on several occasions, you know, because he was family, etc. He wasn't a churchgoer. And somehow, unbeknown to me, I believe he had made it to heaven by the skin of his teeth. You see, God's love is way beyond what our fallen state can comprehend. I've told you the story before, when my dad was waiting to have one of his operations, which was a lung, taking away a lot of his lung. I was alone with him the night before. We travelled again, because obviously we lived in Wales, so every time we had to come from Wales, and I got there beyond visiting time, but they let me in, and other family members were leaving. And I know I've shared this, but for those who haven't heard me say, it was an incredible moment for me, because this strong dad who'd brought up five kids was now in a very sick condition. And I'll never forget, he had pajamas with shorts on, and he wasn't a man who wore shorts put out. You know, there's a time when you didn't wear shorts, weren't there, for pajamas, men? But he had them on, and I looked at him and thought, oh, Dad, what's it come to? And I said, Dad, that's the time when, you know, when I said, Dad, I love you. And he said, and you, lad. Couldn't get the words out. And I said, Dad, let me lead you in a prayer, please. You might not wake up tomorrow, Dad. And he said, oh, I feel like an hypocrite, you know, the strong Yorkshire stuff that's in us. And he said, leave it in my glasses case, and I'll have a look at it later. Oh, I said, Dad, please do. Please say that prayer. Play it from your heart, Dad. I believe he did now. You know, I believed that for a while, but I think God's kind of put in my heart, you know, he's convinced me of it. Only as we grow in Christ,
folks. Only as we get rooted, you know, in our, isn't it fantastic? We've got 11 people being baptized in 2 weeks' time. Isn't it fantastic? We as a body, we who are further on, we who are mature, it behoves us to be a great example to those who are coming today. It behoves us ourselves to be rooted in agape. It behoves us to be established in agape love. That they don't see old, bitter, twisted folk. You know what I'm saying, don't you? If I got 25 years ago and I'm not smiling at you. Oh, they need to see. That's why I said encourage our young adults. You know, they need to see, wow, is that what you can become if you're a believer? That you keep growing. So you become just a wonderful, wonderful person with a tremendous character. And one who can get answers to prayer. One who can show the way in doing what Jesus says we can do. Amen? We do know this, and it won't go silent one way or another. It won't go silent because I know a few things I'm not convinced of, but this I am convinced of. We have an obligation to love people at the same level that Jesus loves us. And that is immense. It's immense, and it becomes an immense responsibility. We're going to sing another hymn now. Be Thou My Vision. Be new to some, but it's certainly not new to the older folk here. When I say that, I mean over 20. You know, I'm not picking on us grey hairs. Can I ask you to pray during this? You know, I hope and trust that God has been releasing hearts this morning. I hope and trust that He'll continue to do that, even now. Perhaps our greatest weapon going forward is extraordinary acts of love. Listen to God on how to do it. Listen to God. Pick somebody out. Maybe they're even here today and you need to go over to them and say, whatever, even I love you, you know. But beyond that, sometimes God puts it on your heart to help somebody practically, to surprise them, to say, you know, I've been listening to God and He wants you to know this. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement, prophecy, isn't it? I want to be sensitive as we come to close as well in remembering John and the Welford family. John's brother has sadly passed away this week, so we want to remember you guys. You're in our prayers, you know that. And for Kevin's family and the life of Kevin, believing that he's in heaven, as you've said, and as Kim has said already, on Facebook, you know, with other family members who've gone before, what we've seen this morning. It's our heritage, isn't it? It's our future, that we're going to see people again. And they're not going to look like they looked when they departed. She's gone now, hasn't she? Do you think she'll forgive me? Why didn't you show me at my best, she'll say. It was to prove a point. She's not like that anymore. That was the end of this life. She's glorious now. As we sing, let Him minister to you. Let Him put an extraordinary act of love in your heart for someone. May it stay there for others and others. May you get free to love again. I see what He does in these next few minutes. We're not going to prolong things. As the group leads us, let's stand together, folks.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more about our church or listen to other messages, why not head over to our website, www.elimnewcastle.org.uk.